Father, I just thank you for everybody that came out this morning to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father God, we thank you for your angelic hosts are at work in this sanctuary. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here in all of its glory. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, Father, and his blood and his name. And Father God, we thank you that you're in total, complete control of all things that happen here this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I want to share with you that what you witnessed here this morning, are you really ready for God to send the world into the church? Are you really ready to let God use you to set people free? I was at a church in Florida, and I won't tell you whose church it was, but I was at a church in Florida, and the church was packed out that day, and my mother and I were there, and all of a sudden a young lady jumped up and started running around the auditorium, and she did, and she was going like this. I don't like flailing of hands in the house of God. It's not godly. It brings demonic activity. But she was running around and around and around, and my mother said, why doesn't the pastor make her stop? But over here to our right, you know, the seats went up this way, a whole section, they all started doing this, standing up, manifesting and doing that. And what was happening is that her clothes were cut, shirts were coming off. And then down front, the front row started. Then all of a sudden, as a girl was running around and she got down to where what was Rodney Howard Brown? When she got down to where he was at, he said, stop in the name of Jesus. And she collapsed to the floor. And he said, I demand every spirit in here that just manifested to leave in Jesus' name. This whole bleacher went out in the spirit. The front row went out in the spirit. And then around the auditorium. So you see, whenever that one girl and her spirit started manifesting, then everybody in there had spirits started manifesting and started flailing and going on. What you need to do whenever you see somebody manifest, if you're not helping them, you need to be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to come and assist in the angelic host. Now, what did you do this morning when that happened? Did you pray? Did you help do a deliverance? Was you sitting here saying, I'm embarrassed because this is my relative? You're never embarrassed. You should be embarrassed when a spirit manifests in somebody in your household. You need to go get a deliverance yourself to make sure that you don't have spirits. Are you understanding this? And the young lady that is being delivered, she has given her whole heart to God, and now the enemy is upset. So he started to manifest, but he's gonna leave. All right? Anytime you start walking really close to God, the spirits that are in you, they're not of God, will manifest. Believe me, they will. But this church has been trained to deal with this. Or have you been trained to deal with this? Are you ready to really step in there and set people free? Or are you bound yourself and you don't know how to set somebody free? If you're bound yourself and you don't know how to set somebody free, then what you need to do is to start teaching yourself how to do this. Bob Larson is on the YouTube. There's other people on YouTube. I think you all have classes on deliverance. I think you used to. And so we have deliverance classes. If you ask somebody here, they'll help you. But that is the biggest part of ministering for God, is delivering people. Jesus did it all the time. He was constantly casting demons out. So if you don't believe in that, well, then God can't use you. You're going to have to get into the Word and read the whole Word and see what Jesus really did and then do what he did. God's been telling us that, but I don't think it's really sunk in to your spirit man that you really need to get into the Word and see what Jesus did. then if you really see what Jesus did, then you read about the disciples. Disciples did everything Jesus did, you know, because he taught them how to do it. Now, body of Christ, we're gonna run into a lot of this. We're going to run into a lot of this, and we can't stop service. We can't get all upset. We can't say, oh, dear God, what do we do? Because you should already know what to do. You should already know how to handle something. And I know the ones that come here all the time, you've been taught, you know what to do, but if you're, you know, but if you're not in a church where they teach it, then please somehow or other learn how to cast out demons. When God called me, he said, one of your ministries is going to be casting out demons. And we started right off the bat. And I'm going to tell you right now, the anointing is getting stronger and stronger. And when they walk through that door, the anointing is in here really strong. When they walk through that door, them demons are going to say, no, we got to leave. And they're going to act up and want to turn around and get out. How do you feel when you go into where the anointing is strong? Can you take your little devils and walk in there and sashay yourself down to a seat and be comfortable? There's a lot of people that can do that, because the body of Christ has a lot of people sitting in the house of God that are demon-possessed. I know you don't believe that, but that is a truth. Get in your word. Get into red letters. That's why I played that song tonight. That's one, because I think you need to start getting into the red letters. When I very first started, I wanted to go to Bible school. God said, no, my Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He said, read everything in red in your word. And so I read everything in red over and over and over again. All the Bible, you should read all the Bible, but really, truly, right now, you need to get in there and see everything that Jesus did. I was sitting there, and I saw us in a great big auditorium. And there was different pastors setting up on here, you know. But the place was full of people, and they were manifesting all over the place. See, this is why God said it's no longer a one-man show. You know, the pastor setting up here can't deliver everybody down there. And unless the anointing's so strong to just yank them out of there, then you're going to have to do a one-on-one or two-on-one. I just feel like you just have to hear this morning. This is so very important that you hear this. I mean, you know, in my home, people come into my home, and if they have demons, they say they're afraid of me. They're not afraid of me. The devil's in them are afraid of the Holy Spirit's in them. And they'll really hide from me. Because then it's not them, it's the devil's in them. What is your home like? Can somebody come in and be comfortable with a demon in them? Or do they come in there and the demon said, I can't stay here. You know, and they start looking for some way to get out of there. Check your home that way. The Holy Spirit's moving in fantastic ways. I had a church meeting the other night of a couple people in the church. We were going over some things. And I was sitting there and I just felt the anointing get stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, and God was giving me really good ideas and everything else. And, well, this is sort of neat, you know. And then the people left, and I walked from my living room out to my kitchen and sat down in the chair. And Teresa and started getting supper, and all of a sudden I just started prophesying. I started crying and prophesying, and God prophesied to us about what he's doing in the home. And he told us exactly how he was going to do it and how it was going to end up. And, you know, I didn't know I was going to prophesy. But see, this is how strong the anointing needs to be on you and in you so that God can use you in any given second. Teresa Ann said, I didn't know you was going to do that. I didn't either. But it was building up all during the meeting. It was just I thought, boy, the anointing's getting stronger and stronger on me. And it was all because God was going to use me, because he was answering the questions I was asking about my home. And he said, this is going to be a home where my glory. See, my house was always a house where people could come in and get prayer and get delivered. And then there for a season, there was a lot of demonic activity in it. And I've been praying and pleading with God, please give me back my home. And so he told me, I'm giving you back your home because it's my home. And he said, I'm going to use this home for my glory, and miracles are going to happen once again in this home. And I will send people to this house just to be delivered and set free. And that's been my heart's cry. What is your heart's cry? Is your heart's cry, God, make my house so anointed that whoever walks through that door is going to be touched? All right? I mean, somebody's in the hospital, and you know, they might cut their leg off, and they called the other day and wanted their father, and I said he wasn't there. And then I felt fear in her. And so I just started praying for her and to get rid of the fear and everything. And she told her father, she said, she prayed for me, and I had to cry. She said, I just couldn't believe you prayed for me. I couldn't believe what I felt. See, you know, the anointing is on you. And when there's somebody, I mean, she was in so much fear because they're talking about cutting both legs off, just not one. In so much fear of losing her legs, she just couldn't think straight. So do you have enough anointing in you that when you get on the phone with somebody like that, God just automatically start praying through you? Because that's what happened. He just automatically started praying through me for her. This is the kind of anointing that you're going to have to carry in this dispensation of time if you are going to be used by God. You can no longer do what you used to, just be willy-nilly and walk around and, you know, well, you know this, no, well, that. You're going to have to carry an anointing because God said he wants to use you in season and out of season. Isn't that what he said? He wants to use you at any given time. Saints, we are getting ready to go into the auditoriums full of bound up people. And the devils are going to manifest, and God's going to use you guys to set these people free. Do you have to be free yourself? Yes, you do. Everybody that comes through our doors, we encourage them to get a deliverance. I don't need a deliverance. It doesn't hurt nothing. Then they'll say, wow, I didn't know that was in there. Can I have another one? Because I just feel like there's two other things in there. And some people have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deliverances. Till they're finally set free. So if you know there's a heaviness in you, if you know there's something in there that's binding you up, you need to find deliverance somewhere. We don't charge for deliverance. Freely we have been given and freely we give out. And God told me we had to have a deliverance ministry, so that's what we do. All right. Well, there you go. God set the stage for that, didn't he? He wanted to teach you about that this morning. You need to understand that when God says, whatever you place your hand to do, he will do it. And so if you place your hands to deliver somebody, then he's going to do it. You're just a vessel that he wants to work through. All right? I come out, God, you go out and you hug that young lady. So I did. And when I did, that devil manifested full blown. And I said, take her in the office and work with her. See, God wanted to get that thing up and out of there. It was stuck in there. So what is God telling you to do with something? Don't do it because you want to do it. Make sure that God is telling you to do it or it's not going to work. Too many people are just doing it. What's that, sons of Sceva? They went to do deliverance and the demons beat them up, didn't they? So don't be one of them. You make sure you're led by the Spirit, or I'm going to tell you right now, you'll get beat up. You know, God told me, he said, the witches are constantly sitting in this church. We have a coven in here somewhere in Wyoming that once a week they pray against this church. And then every now and then one of them visit this church trying to destroy, but they can't destroy what God has put together. So what I'm saying is don't walk in fear. You know, if God has called you, then God is with you. He's for you. And the devil he doesn't have any rule and reign over you. Because you're God's, right? You're God's. You know, God's child. You're not a God. You're God's child. So let's get this together. I feel really joyful today. I really do. I've been joyful ever since I went to heaven the other day. But, the devil, he's defeated. I want you all to understand he's defeated. He really is. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what's going on in your body. You know, he is defeated. He's just trying to make you believe that he's not. He's trying to make you believe that you're something that you're not. And you just know who you are. I just read something this morning. I forgot who wrote it, but they said, you have to know that you know that you know that you are God's child, or the enemy is going to defeat you. And how many times have we heard that in here? You really have to know that you belong to God, or the enemy is going to take you over. Do you know you belong to God? Do you know you're his child? Are you walking in his footsteps? Are you doing what he's telling you to do? You know, that's, you check your own fruit. You know, I inspect the fruit in people all the time. They can say one thing with their mouth, but their actions say something different, right? And God said we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. So, you know, you don't have to, just do it yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. Just sort of watch what people do. Well, not sort of, just watch what people do, and you'll know what kind of fruit they bear. All right? Well, I'm going to get back. Now, this is what God spoke. That he prophesied this to me to give to you people. So let's do that. Now, are you all clear about you're going to have to cast out demons? Are you all clear in the fact if you're really a true child of God and you walk anywhere, the demon's going to manifest and you're going to have to do something about it? Get that down in your spirit, because that's what that was all. That was God gave you a little display. And now he's telling you what you're going to have to do. How many of you sat in your seat and said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of hell, you can't stay in that child? Or you saying, oh my God, do you see what's going on? Come on. You know, this is serious. What did you say to yourself? All right. This is God speaking. It is entirely unnecessary for any of my people to be walking in fear at any time, especially at this given time. How many people do you know that sit in the house of God are walking in fear right now? Fear of everything. But God says it's entirely unnecessary for any of my people to be walking in fear at any time, especially at this given time. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. See that? For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. We are not allowed to walk in fear, according to God's word, right? We're God's child. What are you fearful of? He promised you in his word he's going to take care of you. Doesn't matter what you're going through, he is going to take care of you. Isn't that right, Mary? Thank you. Did you see how wonderfully loud Mary sang the red letters? She knows what was to be bound and she knows what is to be free. I heard that in her voice. And she was shouting it to the mountaintops. She was shouting it down in the hell. I'm free. You had me bound, but I am free. How many of you really sang it that way? Are you really free? If you're not really free, you can't truly sing a song the way it should be. Because it doesn't come from the very depth of your soul. All right, God said the great awakening has begun. The tables have been overturned, and I am bringing what has been hidden in darkness into the light, where it will be exposed for what it truly is. All right, that demon was hiding in that young lady. God brought it to light to expose it. I am cleaning out the closets, and there will no longer be hidden agendas. No longer will you be able to sweep things under the carpet and pretend they never happened. Guys... You can't live half in the world and half in the church. You have to give God your all. It's just where it's at. There were four great awakenings in America. Because I look up, okay, what is this great awakening? There was four great awakenings in America. The third great awakening of 1857 to 1859 was brought about by prayer meetings in cities. In Canada and America were led not by clergy, but by devoted laypersons. All right, let's stop there. We just had the 10-day prayer. And they're trying to continue that, but it's not working. Why? Because God wanted the 10-day prayer. Now, what we need to do is pray, okay, God, what do you want us to do now, instead of just trying to piggyback onto what he just did. But it's up to each one of us to be praying in our prayer closets for the things that are going on in America so that God can continue to move his hand. Where am I at, Nancy? These awakenings are essentially, the process of spiritual growth and sanctification. They are part of what Romans 12:2 describes. And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So these awakenings, God's been trying to get his church to wake up to the fact that they are not walking 100% in his footsteps. He's trying to get the church to get rid of the sin in their life so that his Holy Spirit can indwell there richly. And he's said before that the church is not ready for the glory drop, the powerful glory drop, because of the sin in their lives, and it will kill them. So God's been trying to get the church to clean up. And this is what he said, the great awakening has occurred, has begun. All right, you are to be a generation of overcomers that will go forth. Now, listen to what God's saying to you. You are to be a generation of overcomers that will go forth and destroy the enemy's camps throughout the land. You are to be a force to be reckoned with. You're just not supposed to just walk around from church to church and go out there in the street and do your business. You are supposed to be going forth to destroy the enemy at every turn. Come on. All right, I put down a force to be reckoned with is a powerful person or thing that must be taken seriously when being faced or dealt with. So God said you are to be a generation of overcomers. First of all, you have to overcome your own sins that will go forth and destroy the enemy's camps throughout the land. You are to be a force to be reckoned with. In other words, Satan should be scared to death of you. He should be scared to death of you. But he's not. Not everybody he is, and the majority of the churches, he can just twist him any way he wants to. But how about you? Have you finally come to grips with the fact that, devil, you are a liar, and I am not your puppet, and you are not going to pull any more strings because I'm going to walk with God 100%, and you're out of here. And mean it, because he knows whether or not you mean it. But if you don't mean it, the devil knows that, and he's going to stand back and laugh at you. All right, God said, the enemy is already trembling, and he knows his time is short. Therefore, he has brought out all his heavy artillery, and it is no holds barred time in his agenda. And in other words, Satan's throwing everything he has at you. He knows every button he used to push, and he's re-pushing those buttons to see if he can get you back into the place that God took you out of. God said, look around about you. Look at all the darkness all over this land. Gross darkness like has never been seen before. Total disregard for those in higher offices. Total disregard for life in general. Children are still being murdered in the womb when I said it was finished. Media is walking in the very depth of darkness. Truth is nowhere to be found. My son's name is being blasphemed. Isn't all that happening? Do you understand where you're at right now, guys? You can no longer stay in what you call the gray area because there isn't one. You're either God's or you're not. And you're either the devil's or you're not. You can't play around anymore. Playing around time is finished. God goes on to say, they are spitting in my face and they believe I am going to sit around and do nothing. How many of you heard people say, well, where is your God? If God is real, why isn't he doing that? I hear this all the time. Why isn't he doing this and why isn't he doing that? Well, he is. You just don't see it yet. Because he keeps telling me I'm working behind the scenes. And one day, this world is going to know who God really is. I'm working with somebody and God said, when I'm finished with them, they're going to know there is a God. And America's going to know there is a God once again, too. And church, I'm asking you, where will you be when that happens? Will you really be in the mainstream with God, working for him 100%, fully committed to him, flesh all dead? Or are you one of those still playing around the fire? You have to ask yourself these things. God said, woe unto all that think I'm a God of no concern for what is happening to my chosen generation. The enemy has been destroying my prophets, evangelists, and apostles for far too long. I have stepped into the mix, and with a blast of my nostrils, I will uncover all sin and degradation. I will remove the stench of the underworld, and I will bring my light forth. Church, God is going to do this. I don't care what you think. God doesn't care what you think. He is going to do what he's planned to do. And I'm hearing God say, I've orchestrated it up this far, and I will orchestrate it to the very end. God said, let's take a look at my church. Sin abounds in the four walls. There is no fear of me. They think I am not looking, but I see and know all things. They have played the harlot once too often, and now the door before them is being shut. So if you're sitting in the house of God, and your mind isn't pure, and your agenda is not pure, God said here, he's shutting the door. And you're not going to be able to get in. I mean, when God spoke this to me, he was adamant about everything he said. He said, I'm tired of my people sitting in my house and not serving me 100%. All right, Judges 16:20 has come upon the scene. There will be great gnashing of teeth. And Judges 16:20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, talking to Samson. The Philistines are upon you, Samson. And Samson awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. You know, God said, we're in this time right now. There's a lot sitting in the house of God. A lot of people sit in the house of God thinking they keep running on sinning and then at the last moment shake themselves and but that's not going to work. But once you cross that line, you're crossed and there's no way to come back. I don't care if you think that I'm discouraging people because I am not. This should encourage you to get out of your sin and stay out of your sin. It should encourage you to die out to the stupid flesh that it means absolutely nothing. And it should encourage you to get a deeper walk with God. Amen? God said, this is the end of the beginning of time as you know it. This is the end of gross darkness and the beginning of the true light from heaven. I want to read that again, then we're going to talk about that. God said, this is the end of the beginning of time as you know it. This is the end of gross darkness and the beginning of the true light from heaven. Now, the beginning of another end. Hence, the end of a beginning is the beginning of another end. You know, God is, he said, all right, I've had enough of this gross darkness, and I'm going to bring my light. And we're his light. And this is why he's been trying to get us to be a light. Because he wants to use us to send out there and break up that darkness. All right? Then it said, let me decode that for you. Ever heard of the phrase, every action has a consequence? Well, that pretty much sums up everything. Any action you take has a start and an end. And that start could be the ending of the previous action, and the end could be the beginning of the consequence. So really, this could mean that if you aren't walking with God 100%, sitting in the house of God, pretending you're a child of God, you might be going into your consequence now. The door shut. Serious stuff this morning. You really got to think about this. Hence, when something ends, be ready to face the new thing that is going to begin. Is it the beginning? Is it the end of a beginning or the beginning of an end? You have to get that and take it home and reread it again, all right? All right, what did God say to us when this new era started? I'm starting a new 40-year dispensation of time. And in this new, so he's doing away with the old 40-year we just came out of. And in this new 40-year dispensation of time, we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he told us? So what we're doing is we're preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. And if you really look in your word, what happened whenever the first beginning of Jesus, people were being set free. You know, they were getting out of their junk and serving God. And this is what God is doing for us today. He's been trying to get us to let go of the world and step into his kingdom. It's taken some of you quite some time, hasn't it, Catherine? She said back to agree with me. It's taken some of us quite some time to get from where we were to where we are today. Yeah, because we have to process all the junk we've learned. And we have to process the stuff we're learning now and saying, it's a process period, time of getting the old things out and allowing new things to come in, the new things of God to come in. It's just not unless God hits you real hard. It's not an instant thing. But God is saying that it's going to be an instant thing. He's going to bring the world in and instantly clean them up and use them. They're not going to have to go through the process like we've had to go through. All right? Then God said, my children should be looking just like my son Jesus, but instead they look just like the world. Isn't that the truth? You know, I took my daughter one time to my middle daughter one time to a church, and she said, Mom, I'm not going to go to that church. She says, I have a better life than they do. She said, they're sinning like crazy in there. She was a teenager then. And she was all ready to receive God and live for God. And when she saw the double standard, she didn't want no part of it. So when you're trying to tell somebody how wonderful God is, are you living a double standard? If you are, you're not going to win anybody to Christ. You really aren't. They're going to see right through you. They already have that. They want something brand new. They want Jesus, right? And they want to see you go through your trials and your tribulations and still serve God. They're watching how you do that. I know the people that come in and out of my house say, I watch what you do. I don't understand how you can go through what you go through. It's because of Jesus. Because I serve God with all of my heart. And it doesn't matter what I have to go. At least I'm not nailed to a cross. I'm not being whipped. You hear what I'm saying? We are supposed to pick up our cross daily. Whatever God has for that day for us, we are supposed to carry it with a smile on our face and quit our walking around like we're half dead. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord inside of us. Do you have the joy of the Lord inside of you? Can you be happy in the mix of the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life? You can, Can't you? You can. The biggest mess going around, but people look at you. Well, I have had people say, are you crazy or something? I think serving God's made you nuts. I've had people say that to me. How can you be happy when all this is going on? It's because the joy of the Lord is inside of us. We're supposed to be different than the world, right? We aren't supposed to be losing it at every turn. All right. My children should be looking just like my son Jesus, but instead he looked just like the world. My church does not walk in the holiness that is in my word. They walk in half-truths. They entertain themselves with the things of the world, no matter how corrupt, no matter how perverted. Isn't that true? That's true. Aren't you sorry you came in here this morning? I should have brought my cup. All right, Jesus said, they think I'm winking at these sins, and I am not. I have been pouring my grace out upon my church, giving them time to turn from their wicked, evil ways and walk in the holiness my son Jesus walks in. They trampled my love first, and then they walked all over my grace. I am finished, church. There is a world out there crying out to a God they do not know, and you are too busy fulfilling your own lusts to hear the cries. Do you ever notice that Jesus cries a lot whenever we do prophecy? He's weeping over these lost souls out there that we won't die to self and go get them delivered and set free. God said, I am sending my angelic host to these less fortunate ones, and they are being brought before my feet, and I'm going to place your mantles upon them. God said a couple weeks ago, told us he's going to start removing your mantle and giving it to somebody else. How desperately do you want your mantle? How desperately do you want your mantle? If you really want to keep your mantle and work for God and do what God's called you to do, then you'll change. I was in doubt and unbelief one time, and God said, he was upset with me. He said, if you don't get out of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to take away your candlestick. And I said, God, please don't do that. And I worked at getting out of doubt and unbelief so I could go ahead and you know, carry my candlestick, minister the word. The word is, ministering word is more important than anything else in the world to me, because I like to see people set free. Are you understanding this? So the doubt and unbelief was not worth losing everything that God had given me. So what is it that you're doing? Is it really worth losing out with God? Is it really worth standing on the outside looking in when the glory falls? Is it really worth thinking maybe you might go to hell and not heaven? I was in heaven the other night, and they were dancing and rejoicing, and I was dancing with my mother, and I said, Mom, I got to go. And she's, no, you got to stay here because we're like this all the time. It's always laughter and joy up here. And I said, no, I have to go back. And when I come back, I cried a lot. I couldn't stand angry people anymore. I couldn't stand this judging people anymore. It just really bothered me. So what I'm saying is, when you're in your presence of the Father, when you really go to heaven, you'll change. You will not be the same. And ever since I've been there, the anointing has been super strong. And you know, God was just taking my mind and taking me all kind of places about things I would have never thought of what he's going to do. It's awesome. You know, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what you guys have followed the devil. I don't know what he has that entices you. Because walking with God is so wonderful. I mean, it's so exciting. You never know from one second to the next what he's going to do. You know? I just wish I could just get in your mind and get all that junk out of there and let you really see, you know, what a wonderful God we serve. All right, he says, God said, I am sending my angelic host to these less fortunate ones, and they are being brought before my feet, and I'm going to place your mantles upon them. My ears are now closed to your pleas of just give me one. Listen to this. My ears are now closed to your pleas of just give me one more chance. Do you know how many one more chances I have given you? Too many. You know, when God speaks to me like this, do you ever stop and just think to yourself, okay, so God wants me to give this to the people, but what about me? Where am I? What am I doing? Am I doing everything he's telling me I should do in here? Or am I slack in some area? You know, I check myself out first. And before I minister to anybody else, I have to check myself out first to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so I can then speak to you and the truth will come forth. And the anointing with the truth will break the yoke and set the captives free. The fire of my glory is being dropped all across the land. The greater works are coming upon the scene. Everything is being changed. Nothing is going to look the same. To begin with, right now, nothing looks the same, does it? I mean, God told us years ago, church is not church as usual. You won't even recognize church anymore. And some of the things we do in here, I don't recognize. We never did the things we do today. But they're all God. It's all the anointing and thing. People's lives are changed. We do get encouraging words from the people that watch us. One time I was told to guys, we're just going to stop live streaming. Well, that didn't go over too well. The people said, what? So we didn't quit live streaming because we were having a lot of problems. So, you know, people are watching you. You say you're a child of God. They're watching you. What kind of life are you living? Think about that. And then God, I wrote down where God said, it is truly the beginning of the end time. Then I said, we are leaving sin behind. That's what we're doing this morning. We are leaving sin behind, walking in the image of Jesus, and going forth to the new era of holiness and righteousness, bringing in the overripe harvest. Because God just told me a couple weeks ago, I still do not have enough to go bring in the harvest. Can he use you to bring in the harvest? Do you hear his voice at every second of every day? Can he speak to you at any time he wants and you're ready to move and go and do what he wants you to do? These are all thought-provoking words, and I really want you to think about this, and I really want you to check yourself out. Am I truly like Jesus? Or am I putting on a face? You know, I might be 86 years old, but I don't feel 86. You know, and I don't like it that, you know, I've got this mess from the COVID, but in God's healed me, and I know when he's ready to manifest it, but I don't know what an 86-year-old feels like, but I don't feel like I'm old. I really, do you feel like you're old? You don't, do you? You just, don't you feel like you're still young and vibrant, you know, you can skip and hop and go around, do whatever you want to do? You know, so why are we, you know, you read about in the Bible, they lived to be 700-800 years old. And I know they weren't on canes walking around for 600-700 years. So why are we acting like we're dead? You know, Grace came in and said, how are you today? I said, I'm as good as you are. I said, how does that make me? She said, well, I said, I'm not asking you that again. You know, I'm going to ask each one, you know, don't you feel vibrant and young? You older guys that are old like me, you don't feel old. You know, because I was sitting there, I said, God, you know, I never really aged until I became 70. Then all of a sudden I aged overnight because God said, you're going from the blessing to the curse. And then everything that you go, older people go through, I started going through, I guess. But anyhow, I wasn't being blessed. I knew that. And I just said today, I said, all right, God, now let's get back to the being young again. you know, where you jump out of bed and you know, go do something all day long and never be tired, you know. And God doesn't want us tired. And he keeps telling us, he's prophesied through many people now, I've been reading it, I'm going to return your youth. So if you're sitting there feeling like an old lady or an old man, you need to quit. Because you're a young person and God, you know, he's going to work and he's going to manifest it. You have a lot of work to do for God. I never did. But people have worked long enough for the devil. Now, why not just throw everything you threw into the devil, throw it into God, working for God? Right? You know, and really showing people what God is all about. He's a God of love, a God of grace, you know, a God of power and authority, you know, and the enemy has no place in you. I've had many conversations with the devil, and he is handsome. I was washing my car one day, and he stood beside me. He said, what do you think you're doing? I said, it's just you. He sat there and talked to me the whole time I was washing my car what he was going to do to me. And I laughed at him. I said, you can't do anything. I said, you can do anything you want, but you can't kill me, because God told me that. And he said, well, we'll see. But he has visited me 3 different times and talked to me at great length, told me exactly what he was going to do, and he did it exactly what he said, but he couldn't kill me. And he's not going to, I'm going in a rapture, how about you? Right? Everybody, you're going to go in a rapture. You're not going to let the devil kill you. You're going to stay alive, and you're going to do the work for God, right? Well, good, you come alive finally. Everybody started grinning and shaking their head. They have a reason now to be happy. All right. So this morning we're leaving sin behind, right? I know you committed a sin, so we're leaving that behind. All right, then we're going to walk like Jesus walked, right? Yeah. Right? Yes. This young lady, she's beautiful. She has a blue hat. I love it. She smiles and says yes. Such an encouragement. If you sit up, you see, I can't believe she just said that. But then you find somebody you single in on, they smile and they say yes. And, you know, and it encourages to keep on going. All right, so then, we're going to leave sin behind. We're going to walk in the image of Jesus, and we're going to go into this new era that we're already in holiness and righteousness. And we're going to bring in the overripe harvest. If that is you, and you really mean that, God, show me that when you come to the altar, he's going to touch you with an anointing that's going to break every yoke in you, and then you're going to carry that anointing to break the yokes in everybody you meet. So the altar is open if you want to get that special anointing to do those three or four things.